But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? That's the question this morning, really. How? How is this going to work? Paul is talking, as we spoke of last week, about the resurrection of the body, about the truth, the scripture truth, that when Jesus returns at the end of time, that our bodies will be resurrected into eternal life. And so he's been quite insistent to the Corinthians who were questioning whether such a thing was possible, a resurrection from the dead. He's been insistent that yes, this is a part of our faith. This is something that is necessary. So the Corinthians, Paul in this letter, says, okay, Paul, they're okay. Why don't you explain this? If there is such a thing as a resurrection of the dead, a resurrection of the body, how? How's this thing going to work? With what kind of a body are we going to be resurrected? Bodily resurrection. Really? Paul, really? So explain this to us. How? How's that going to work? And it's a good question. I think it's one that maybe we ask also when we think about it. We think about eternal life, heaven, what's going to happen when Jesus returns. What's it going to be like? How? What happens when we die and rise? What will we look like? Am I going to be my handsome 24-year-old self? Am I going to have pimples like I do now? You know what? It's really the how question. How is this going to work? How can this body, which is, as life goes on, undergoes various trials, various injuries, various sicknesses, it changes, and ultimately, life escapes from this body, gets buried or lost at sea or cremated or whatever. This body decomposes. We're going to say it on Ash Wednesday. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So, St. Paul, how's this going to work? Am I going to have fingers and toes? What kind of body is it going to be? The thing is, it's a very good question. And St. Paul doesn't really answer it, perhaps in the way that we would like. He doesn't tell the Corinthians or us, okay, well, here it is, and, sketch out the formula, XY plus 4F equals, M16 or whatever. He doesn't give us a scientific formula. He doesn't say, well, here in 5 steps, God's going to do this, and then this will happen, and then that will happen, and it'll look like this, and here it is. Doesn't do that. It doesn't really answer that how question. What he does is that he kind of paints a picture. He gives us an image. He tells a story. He says, I'm not going to tell you how, really. God knows, God can do it. But the resurrection of the body says, well, it's kind of like a seed that's planted in the ground. And St. Paul says, now let's think about that for a minute, because it's going to help us understand how the dead are raised. What happens when you plant a seed? Well, you bury it. To plant a seed, you can't just put the seed out into air. It has to be buried in the dirt. And in fact, St. Paul says, for in order for a seed to fulfill its purpose, a seed has to die. It has to go down into the dark earth where it ceases to be what it once was. It's destroyed as a seed. It goes down into the dirt and it decomposes. If you plant a seed in the dirt and you go back in 2 or 3 weeks or a month or whatever, there'll be no seed there anymore. It was gone. What happens, of course, is that seed rises It comes out of the dirt, breaks forth from the top of the dirt, and it rises again. And where there once was a seed, now there will be a stalk of wheat or a corn or a tomato plant or whatever you planted. The seed dies, is buried, and then rises again, and there's something else, something different and new. A new body, if you will, has come forth in the place of the seed. That's St. Paul's answer to the how. How is this going to be, the resurrection of the body? He says our bodies are like seeds. We're walking around in seeds, so to speak. We are seeds, and seeds die. And they are sown in the ground, buried, they die, they decompose. Say it again, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's what happens to our bodies. They die and buried, put into the ground. And just like a seed, when our bodies are planted, Paul says, they rise again, just like a seed does. New, transformed, risen. God does not give up on our bodies. When Jesus came, born in Bethlehem, took flesh, taught, did miracles, fulfilled the law, died and rose again. The object of his saving work was not just our souls over here. Jesus did not take flesh and blood from the Virgin Mary, become a human being with fingers and toes and eyes and hair, and die a bloody, painful, real death with real blood and real feet and real hands. He didn't do that simply to save our souls absent our bodies. Our bodies, all of us, our complete existence, is the object of his saving work. Our bodies are not candy wrappers that you open the candy wrapper, you get the candy, the good stuff, and you throw the wrapper away. Jesus died for the wrapper as well as the candy. All of us, our entire bodily existence. And our bodies are like seeds that are going to rise again. Now there's two things we want to think about and remember about seeds and plants and this, I don't know if it's a simile or a metaphor, whatever it is, that Paul is giving us when he says that our bodies in the resurrection of the dead are like plants, seeds. And there's two things we want to remember. And that is, when we talk about the seeds and what comes up, our bodies and the resurrection, is that there is a sameness and there's a difference. When you plant a seed and it turns into a tomato plant, the seed is completely transformed, completely different. The seed looked like this. The tomato plant looks totally different when it rises again. It's different. The seed has been transformed. However, it's the same thing. The seed is the tomato plant. When you plant that seed, it's not that you plant the seed in the dirt and then somebody comes along, takes the seed away, and replaces it with something different, which is the tomato plant. No, the seed is the tomato plant, only it has risen. It has been transformed. And so when we think about the resurrection of the body and how this is going to be and what it's going to be, we want to say two things. We want to say there is a sameness and there is a difference. Our resurrection bodies are these very bodies. It is not that God takes these bodies, throws them away, and then gives us some sort of spiritual existence or some other such thing. It's the same body. Just as the seed turns into the tomato plant, our bodies, when they go in the ground, when Christ returns, having died, bled in his body to redeem us, to conquer death, that Jesus, when he comes back, will resurrect that body, this very body, right? But that body will be transformed, right? Sameness, it's our body, same body, difference. Continuity, discontinuity, change, right? transformed. And Paul says, right, he sketches out this transformation. He says our bodies are sown perishable, subject to death, subject to decay, but they will be raised imperishable. He says that our bodies are filled with dishonor, right, but they will be raised with glory. Our bodies are sown in weakness, but will be raised with power. They are sown a natural body, they will be raised a spiritual body. This very existence that we have, and we have no other existence except the one we have in this body, through this body, will be transformed, will be resurrected. Sin which plagues us, death which haunts us, sickness which changes us, will all be done away with. The very things which Christ died to do away with, to conquer, to pay for, will have been defeated, and we will be raised and transformed. Paul says in this section in 1 Corinthians that the last enemy to be defeated is death. For us to say and confess in the creed, as we will in just a moment, I believe in the resurrection of the body, is to say, I believe in Jesus. That he died to take away my sin, that he rose, and that he actually did defeat death once and for all. And that I will be with him through his grace and mercy and power. I will be with him and with all the saints in eternity, body and soul forever. We thank and praise Jesus, Jesus Christ our Savior, for his gift of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.